All right, very good. If you would, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy is where we're going to be tonight for this overview of the Bible, and we're taking it book by book. I think we'll probably break this one into two segments, so we'll go through the first half here this evening. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verses 12 through 13. I believe that this is what I would give you as the key verse or key passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." The book of Deuteronomy derives its name from two Greek words that basically mean second law. And the name is given to it because it is the second time that God gave the law through Moses to the children of Israel. The generation that Moses led out of Egypt was now dead. Moses, Caleb, and Joshua were the only ones left that had seen the miracles that God did in Egypt and were old enough to fully grasp the wonder of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Can you remember and picture in your mind what a great situation that was as they stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and God gave them the law, the thunderings and the fire and the smoke and the shaking and the voice like a trumpet and the awe that was in their hearts and the fear that was in their hearts at the giving of the law. The generation that was now living when Deuteronomy was written was just young at that time. Caleb, Moses, and Joshua were the only ones living from that generation, and Moses himself was about to die. A new generation now stands on the brink of Jordan, ready to enter the promised land. And before Joshua can lead them to do so, Moses must rehearse the history of their journeyings and give them the law the second time. And so in this book of Deuteronomy, he does so in a series of 10 sermons, giving them the law a second time. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this overview of the book of Deuteronomy. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity for us to hear your word, for us to understand your word, to have it in our language. Thank you for it. Now, Lord, would you guide, direct, bless, and help in this time? Lord, I pray, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit and help all of us to hear your voice? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The author of Moses, obviously God is the one who authored it, but he used the human author of Moses to write the book of Deuteronomy. The key word in the book of Deuteronomy is remember. That's the key word. The key thought or theme of the book is remember the law. Remember the law. Here's two phrases that you'll see often, or variations of them, often in the book of Deuteronomy. Number one is, thou shalt remember. That's stated over and over again. There's another one that's stated over and over again, beware lest ye forget. Those two phrases and variations of them are found often in the book. And so what I've seen in the book of Deuteronomy is some things that God gave them to remember. And what I'll have you notice about these things that they are given to remember is that all of these things have to do with God. They were to remember some things about God. And then all of these things can be applied to you and to me. We may not live in this time in which Deuteronomy was written. The law may have a different application to you and to me. We understand that in Christ, we've obeyed all the law. We look at it a little bit differently than the Jews in those days did, especially the ones who did not understand quite the salvation that God was providing through the coming Messiah. But we can still learn from the book of Deuteronomy and learn our attitude toward God and the things that we ought to remember. So let me give you these things. There are 7 things that they were told to remember that all have to do with God and can be applied to us. Number one is they needed to remember God's covenant with them. That was the first thing. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Again, we may not take all of these tonight, but we're going to start with them anyway. In Deuteronomy 4, we see that they were to remember God's covenant with them. Notice what the Bible says there, and Moses was saying to the children of Israel, to that new generation, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, under the statutes and under the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who the Lord God so nigh, or who hath the Lord God so nigh unto them as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. I would encourage you to read the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 4. But in that chapter, God is reminding them that they need to remember God's covenant that he had with them. And he reminds them of Mount Sinai, and Horeb is what he calls it there, and how they stood there at the mount and they saw the thunderings and the shakings they felt, and they heard the voice. They didn't see a similitude, but God gave them his 10 commandments on tables of stone, brought them down. And you remember, as Moses dedicated that covenant with them, what did the people say? They said, we will obey the commandments of God. And Moses reminded them, you don't really even know what you're getting into. And they said, oh no, we will keep the commandments of God. There was a covenant there. And remember how Moses sprinkled all these things with the blood and sprinkled the people. That was all part of the covenant that they had with God. And before they go into the promised land, God is telling them, remember the covenant that you have. Remember the importance of it. Remember that this is something that you promised God. You would be his people by keeping his law. Now, that's easy for us to look at them and say they needed to remember their covenant. But you and I need to remember the covenant that we have with God. Because you understand that you have a covenant just like they had a covenant. We might call it this. We might call it a testament. That's more of a terminology that we would use in our time. But remember that the first 39 books of the Bible are called the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. And now the next 27 are the New Testament or the New Covenant, and they have to do with the covenant that you and I are under. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter number 8. You want to keep your place in Deuteronomy, but follow me over to Hebrews chapter number 8, because what we'll see there is that we also need to remember the covenant that we are under. Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 6. And really, we should start verse 5, it would give us a good context. Notice what it says there. Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he, speaking of Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Please remember that the old covenant was good. The old covenant was right. But the old covenant had a problem. And the problem was not with the law. The law is holy. The problem was with me and you, because we're sinners and we can't keep the law. So now we have entered into what God calls a better covenant, which does not depend upon me and my ability to keep the law. It does depend upon someone to keep the law, but it's not me, it's Jesus. He kept the law, and now I'm in him, and that's my covenant now, and it's a better covenant because I get to rest in Christ. Boy, that's beautiful. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18, will say something similar, and I think probably in a little bit more detail. Hebrews 12 and verse 18, we're still talking about how they needed to remember their covenant as they entered the promised land. We need to remember our covenant. Verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Listen, friends, they needed to remember their covenant. Keep the law, and you will be God's people, and he will bless you in the land. God was reminding them. You and I also need to remember our covenant. Keep it always before you. Yes, when you got saved, you made or entered into a covenant. The closest thing that we have to remind us of what it is to enter into a covenant is marriage. If you can remember back to your wedding day. Where's Evan? Evan, where'd he go? He's probably in the hallway. Evan, you remember your wedding day? Just a little bit, not that long ago. We can remember back to our wedding day. And do you remember that more than likely the preacher stood before you and all the people and said, we are here to witness the covenant or the marriage of these two people. And they said your names. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the presence of God and these witnesses to join, you know, Joe Schmo and Sally in holy matrimony. And those are words that we know, and I know by heart, you probably know by heart, and all of that, but they're serious words, aren't they? It's not a light thing. Marriage is not a light thing. We really do gather together in the presence of God and witnesses to join two people in holy matrimony or a covenant that I will be true to you, you will be true to me, until death do us part. That is a covenant. And we would tell a married couple, you need to remember the covenant that you made. One of the reasons you put a ring on your finger is to remember the covenant that you made. You know what you and I need to remember? We made a covenant with Jesus Christ. We ought to be faithful to him. Now, I'm glad my salvation does not depend upon my faithfulness. It depends upon the faithfulness of Jesus. I'm glad about that. But listen, I should still remember the covenant. I do think this, and I realize my wife and I are fallible, and I hope God never tests us on this. But one of the things that I've told my wife is this. No matter what, you and I made a covenant together, and I am yours until the day you die. And again, I pray that God never tests me on it. Never. I don't want to be tested on it. But by God's grace, no matter what she does, if she fails, if she loses her mind and, you know, tries to leave me for another man, which would only be second best anyway. I mean, why would she choose second best? I don't know, but sometimes people lose their minds. God forbid if she were to do that. With the Lord's help, my intention with God's help is to be faithful and true. Now, I'm going to pray the Lord will kill her if she does that. But I tell you what, I also intend to be true and faithful until the Lord were to take her out. Because a covenant is sure and steadfast. And I'm so thankful to know that she has the same attitude towards me, that our relationship, our covenant, is not based on whether or not I'm perfect or whether or not she's perfect. It's a covenant that we've made together. And you and I ought to look at our covenant with the Lord Jesus, not as, boy, I got to be faithful, otherwise he'll let me go. No, he'll never let you go. Where I would intend as a husband to be faithful no matter what she does, I'm weak and I'll fail. And if God tests me on it, who knows, I might fail miserably. But I know this, Jesus will never fail me. And if I fail him, he has made a covenant with me where he will be true to me no matter what I do. And I'm thankful for that. That's the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to remember that. You know what that will cause me to do? That'll cause me to love him more. That'll cause me to serve him more when I remember the faithfulness of his covenant. I would hope that the way that my wife knows about me, that would cause her to love me more and me to love her more, because we understand that there is a deep and abiding covenant there, and that ought to cause us to love one another more. So we ought to remember God's covenant. Let's go to one more, and then we'll close it out for tonight. The second thing that they were told to remember was God's mercy in saving them from slavery. Go with me to Deuteronomy, this time chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Again, we're talking about seven things that they were told to remember. The second one is God's mercy in saving them from the slavery of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse number 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. They were to remember God's mercy in saving them from the slavery of Egypt. Why was that important? Well, because it reminded them that they belonged to him, that they were not their own people, that he had saved them out of slavery, that if he had left them alone, they would still be slaves in Egypt. And they were to be reminded that when you get into that promised land, remember where you were before and where God brought you from. And there's a lesson there for you and me, isn't there? We need to remember, had Jesus Christ not intervened, where would we be? Some of you wouldn't be alive today had Jesus not intervened in your life. Some of you, listen, some of you would not be alive today, and you know exactly where you'd be. And the truth of the matter is, all of us without Jesus eventually would end up in that place called hell, wouldn't we? But even just think about where God brought us from, as far as even just in this life. God saved us out of so much. Those of you who grew up in a Christian home, let me encourage you to just take a moment and understand that God spared you from many of the things that your parents have seen, the heartaches and the tears that they have experienced. And as Stephanie mentioned to us about the Access Women's Center, there are people walking through our land today, so many of them hurting over the fact that though they are lost, they know that the abortion that they had was wrong. And they grieve. And so many women that have gone through that are broken emotionally. And if you grew up in a Christian home and God has spared you from a life of immorality and the things that go with that, then you can thank God that he, on his mercy, saved you from the slavery of sin. Because it is slavery. It is misery. And we ought to be thankful of that. Here's a verse in Colossians. Let me share this with you, and then we'll be done. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Speaking about Jesus, it says he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word translate means this. If you could think of this side of the platform here being darkness, Satan's realm, this side over here being the kingdom of light and God's realm, and that water bottle being you, that word translated means this, that God picked you up out of the kingdom of darkness and carried you into the kingdom of light. That's what that word translated means. It means to move from one place to another, to take out of one realm and put it into another. And that's why when it says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, you see, darkness held us and had us in its grasp And Jesus Christ delivered us from that power. And then he didn't stop at delivering us. He took us out of that kingdom where we used to dwell, where we were in slavery. And he brought us out of that and into the kingdom of his dear son. Many of you remember, you've seen some of the historical videos of the men who were POWs in the Vietnam War. Some of them were held in that horrible place of torture called the Hanoi Hilton. And I watched recently a documentary on some of those men and how one of the wives was so fervent in her efforts to get the men home who were POWs after the Vietnam War had ended. And they showed the video of her husband getting off of the plane as he was freed from Vietnam and brought home. And so many of those men, what did they do as they got off of the plane and got onto U.S. soil? They stopped, they dropped, they got on their knees, and they kissed the tarmac. They were so glad to be translated from a kingdom of darkness and torture and back on U.S. soil where they had freedom again. You know, that happened to you and me in a spiritual sense, didn't it? He freed us from that kingdom of darkness. He translated us from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Why do we need to remember that? Because it reminds us that our life is not our own. You know, those men who were imprisoned in the Hanoi Hilton, I'll guarantee you, every single one of them, guaranteed, when they got home, they had a special appreciation for the United States, and they had an understanding that they had a responsibility to serve their country now that they lived here again in a greater way. That every year that they had was special. Every year that they had was given to them so that they could serve their country. It's a great reminder for you and me that we've been saved, not so that we could live happy lives necessarily, although God knows how to make you happy, but so that we could serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all that we have, that we are not our own. Let's pray. Next week, Lord willing, we'll take up where we left off in the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll continue and finish with those things to remember and then some notable passages. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how I thank you. Thank you so much for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that the new covenant does not depend on us, but it depends on Jesus. Thank you that he's faithful, never changes. Thank you, dear Lord, that you've translated us. Thank you for the sin that you saved us out of. Those of us who were raised in Christian homes, thank you, Lord, that we did not have to face the many things that our parents or our grandparents or whoever back in our lineage went through. Thank you that you spared us, and it was you that did it, not us. Thank you. Lord, as we dismiss here in just a moment, would you bless us tonight? Would you keep us safe? Again, Lord, we ask that you bless the Access Women's Center. Have your hand upon it. Use it for your honor and glory. May laborers be added to the harvest there. And Lord, may you even help the clients that come in to follow through, to be a part of those learn and earns, and to find Jesus Christ, we pray. And in his name we ask these things. Amen.